Well, this is the beauty of live radio. Sometimes you get started on time, and sometimes you don't, and sometimes you push the right buttons, and sometimes you don't. I did all the don'ts. Well, I can hear me. So why don't you try your other earpiece. As we try to get North Shore Sports Night underway here. Tim Kearns is here. Hasn't been here. He forgot how to use the equipment is what it is.
I didn't want to say that, Rick, but that it does appear to be the case.
Yeah, it does. I can't hear you either.
I can't hear it now.
Oh, there we go. All right, so we had the wrong earpiece in?
No, I'm good now. No, I can hear the other piece.
You can hear this one?
Yeah.
Hello. All right, good. Okay. All right, so this is North Shore Sports Night, finally. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell will be by later on. We'll chat with him, and we don't have a lot of stuff lined up tonight. It will be a big week for sports for MSO, of course, on Wednesday night. Tim and John Squire and Bill Newell will be broadcasting from Frazier Field. It will be Danvers in the D2 state championship game. And Bill will highlight that for us a little bit later on tonight. And we followed Danvers. There's only one game we didn't do. We couldn't really get into the press box over at Endicott College. But we've been doing the other games. And Beverly played very well. Tulay were eliminated by Belmont. And once again, the conference has done extremely well in spring sports. Winter sports, the Northeastern Conference did great. They got a long way deep into the tournament on both sides, in basketball and in hockey with boys and girls. And we're doing the same thing now in spring sports. We will be talking to Danvers assistant baseball coach Bob Boyce a little bit later on. I have a call out to Gary Larrabee, but I don't know. Gary has not responded. He might be busy tonight. He's working very diligently on a lot of his material. And also, of course, he is the liaison, the media liaison, for the 2017 U.S. Seniors PGA at the Salem Country Club. And speaking of the Salem Country Club, tomorrow, big day for Moynihan Lumber, Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete Program, as they will have their luncheon tomorrow at the Salem Country Club, and we'll be announcing the Student Athletes of the Year on both sides, for the male and the female. So all of that is up for discussion, as well as some local current events. I'm going to ask Tim's opinion about some stuff here in a minute, what went on in Orlando. But how you been, Coach?
Well, I got a, as you know, up and down with my cardiac issues. A few weeks back, I had to wear a heart monitor for 24 hours, and I thought there were no atrial fibrillation events that could be recorded, and I mentioned that to the nurse. 3 days later, I get a call from my cardiologist in Salem saying that there were numerous events that I obviously did not detect, and that the normal gap between your heart stopping and starting again is 1.1 second, but I had gaps lasting up to 3.2. So there was talk about doing a pacemaker, and then it was talk about doing an ablation. And so I had a echocardiogram a week ago. Wednesday, I had a nuclear stress test last Thursday and Friday, and the results of that stress test have indicated that there's an ischemia, I think it is called, in the heart, and that is causing some stoppage in the blood flow, which obviously is partly related to the dizziness that I experience. And now they're looking about doing another catheterization to go in and find out where locate the blocks and to do away with them. So that's where I stand right now. So other than that, nothing's going on. I can't ride my motorcycle for 6 months or until I get this.
So I have to be nice to you now? I don't care. No, get your heart all upset?
No,
can't you
no,
get
because
your blood pressure up?
No, because if you start doing that, that definitely will kill me.
Oh, okay.
So no, don't stop. No, don't stop being how you've been.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, hopefully this will pick up a little bit, and I want you to pick us up with some sports. But I guess you know, before we talk sports, we have to talk current events. As you know, I've been filling in long term at Gloucester High School back in the math department, and amazing to me, on the one hand, maybe not a bad thing on the other, how oblivious the kids are to what went on down in Orlando this weekend.
Not one student mentioned it.
Amazing to me.
Not one.
Flag is at half-staff. Nobody asked why. But again, on the other hand, perhaps it's that desensitization. Perhaps it's defense mechanism. Who wants to think about the horror?
Well, you know, it's incumbent upon, if you're going to fly the school flag at half-mast, then it's incumbent upon the administration to come on and explain the situation.
I wasn't there on time this morning. Was there a moment of silence?
No.
Nothing.
No, there was nothing. And that would generate student discussion regarding it, you know, at least for some part of the, at least the first block, because it is the day before finals, and a lot of people are trying to get reviews done and all. But there was nothing said. And you definitely know that there are kids in the classroom who would have a particular feeling towards it. Maybe they were just suppressing it, not wanting to discuss it and bring it out into the open. And certainly that has to be respected. But you know, the continuing horror of the number of people that have been killed by guns in the United States this year, by legally bought guns. You know, and the distressing part about this was an individual who twice was called in by the FBI and questioned, who you would think, because of his past leanings, would remain on a watch list, even though there were no red flags that he was doing anything. Just his behavior back then had to be a red flag and should have continued.
That's fine, but what do you do? He's an American citizen.
That's
Tim.
Right.
He hasn't broken any laws. What do you do?
But that's the other part of it. But
what do you do? You just throw anybody who's got a last name like that says, okay, you have to leave.
It wasn't the part of his last name. It had nothing to do with that.
That's what certain political parties are saying.
Of course they are. Okay, but it's the fact that back in 2012 and 14, he was making open statements in support of, and supposedly he was friends with the American who went over to Syria and became a suicide bomber. So he had these connections, you know, and did he outwardly display, you know, anything? No, but geez, you know, he threw up a red flag on himself at that point in time.
So
now, does he just fade to the background as other higher priority individuals come out? Possibly so.
Again, what do you do? I mean, as an American, you have rights. So you have a right to express an opinion. You have a right to buy an AR-15 with unlimited amounts of ammunition.
Therein lies another part of the problem. Why are private citizens allowed to purchase a military assault weapon? There's no need for any American citizen to feel the absolute need for protection that they have to possess
a
military assault weapon.
I heard something on NPR today, and we'll keep this short because we could go on, obviously, all night and invite phone calls to this. But I heard a senator on NPR today, and I presume he was a Democrat because it was on NPR, but he was saying that if you stop the sale of AR-15s, that would not impinge on the Second Amendment. I'd like to hear more discussion on that. I'd like to get people together. We did talk about a little bit in class, and we talked about bullies. We talked about stereotyping. We talked about racism. And this isn't a math class. And it was a very diverse class, by the way, in terms of culture. And we did all that. And it seems to me, and a broad spectrum of opinions, by the way, Coach, and it would seem to me that if we don't do this now, but you know what someone said, the senator, Murphy, I guess his name was, look, he said, if 20 school children are slaughtered and that doesn't spark the conversation, do you think this will? And it was very, very depressing to hear that.
Yeah, it certainly is. You know, how many Americans, you know, are going to need to be killed in domestic violent situations before the country stands up and finally does something? The problem is you have a gutless Congress on both sides of the aisles that says, oops, I don't want to get the NRA mad at me, and it's an election year this year, so I can't talk about it, so that they're going to simply stick their heads in the sand as they normally do, and more Americans are going to die. And again, you know, when I was teaching in Maryland, and I made the comments when I would come home to visit back here, is that if 10 people died in Washington, D.C. on a weekend, it was a light weekend in terms of killings. And I would see on the news the police tape cordoning off an area, and there in the middle of the cordoned off area would be a body covered with a sheet. And then there are all these young kids jumping around in front of the camera in front of the police tape. And I'm thinking, don't they realize there's a dead body, that someone's just been murdered behind them? And it doesn't seem to bother them. They had become desensitized to the level of violence to which they were being exposed almost on a daily basis. And, you know, we get all concerned. Everything now has to have the label of terrorist, of terrorism. But we Americans commit terrorism and acts of violence against fellow Americans every single day, but we don't move against it.
This will be my last comment, and we'll go to sports. My last comment is that I mentioned today that very thing. What's so important? I talked with a member of the staff that I really respect. He's way out on the right. And he said, I said, what's so important about labeling the label Islamic, Islamic extremism? What is so important to the Republicans or whomever about that particular statement? And he explained to me how it is in labeling your enemy and so on and so on. And that was fine. But my thing was, you've got the left and the right. You've got people who say, give me a second here. If you want to have this discussion, then you want to take away my guns. I want to have the discussion, Tim. I'm an Army veteran, okay? I'm qualified on quite a few different weapons.
How many do you have?
Zero. Yep. I don't have any. I have a child in the house. My dad was an Iwo Jima survivor and did 3 tours of duty in Vietnam on top of that, was wounded several times, Silver Star winner, Bronze Star twice. I was in the artillery, and I defend the Second Amendment. I think the Second Amendment is inviolate. I think our Bill of Rights is inviolate. But I don't need an AR-15.
Did your father have guns at the house?
No. He had a collector's 1911 45 that he used on the Army pistol team. And he had, it was locked in a steel case in one room. The firing pin was locked in a case in another room. And the ammunition was hidden somewhere else locked up. So he had it in 3 different places. And his kids, we could see it. He would show it to us, the 45. But we didn't know where the ammo was, and we didn't know where the firing pin was. He took the firing pin out. So that said, my statement is, I don't care if you're way out on the far right, way out on the far left. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear Republican. I don't want to hear Democrat anymore. I want to hear American. Okay? Now, I listened to this gentleman. We talked dispassionately, and he has some very salient points. One of them was, everybody should wear a gun on the outside walking down the street. You should see the weapon unconcealed. Now, I don't agree with that, but we can talk about it, Tim. And why can't we do that nationwide? Let's get this conversation started. And it's not so much gun control for me, it's just what you said. Violence and serial killing. We need to talk about it.
Now, you talked about what they talked about. For one particular party, it's fear-mongering. Okay?
Oh, no question.
Create fear and then say the other party isn't doing enough.
Right.
And make sure you paint the enemy as that other guy. Okay, not the hundreds of Americans who shoot thousands of Americans who go in and shoot Americans like happened last night. Okay, the Islamic extremist. Have killed people in this country? Yes. Have they killed the majority of the people? No. They've been blue-blooded Americans. Okay, who all of a sudden get a little pissy. And they grab a gun and they walk into a school and they slaughter the innocents. You know, that's not foreign terrorism. It's not Islamic terrorism. It's domestic terrorism, and it goes on way more often than people think want to admit to.
I think the horror in Orlando should not be forgotten, nor the horror at the school in Connecticut, or even go back as far as Columbine.
Yeah. Yeah, the girl was able to walk in and purchase those weapons and then give them to Clyde Baldwin and the other guy.
All right.
I will make one last statement. A well-regulated militia being necessary, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants the second half of the amendment, but not the first. You want to own a weapon, you join the militia.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a lot of those. We have a lot of those too.
Those people who want to live and die, but a well-regulated militia, which is regulated by the state. Okay.
All right.
They want to take it. They want to take the Constitution.
Why don't we
verbatim, but they don't.
Why don't we take a break and come back to some sports here and talk some sports? This is MSO News Sports. This is North Shore Sports Night. We will talk to Danvers assistant baseball coach Bob Boyson in a while. We'll also talk with Bill Newell and see if we can get off talk a little sports and I don't know, just have some silly talk. We'll be back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the New Report Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we are going to get to Danvers and other local sports. I will say we're going to be talking with Gary Moran later on in the week. He's the Swampscott softball coach, and Swampscott beating Gloucester over the weekend in the D2 quarters, I believe it was, but then they came back on Sunday, and they were beaten by the old NEC nemesis Tewksbury. And it was good to see Gloucester beat Tewksbury in hockey, but boy, Tewksbury, Lincoln, Sudbury, those names, Reading, although Danvers beat Reading, but North Reading, you know, some of those schools just are perennial powers year in and year out, and it continues. However, Tim, I think the thing to focus on for me is, we got these great North Shore Catholic schools, certainly, who are terrific in sports, you know, Malden Catholic, but St. John's Prep, Bishop Fenwick, St. Mary's of Lynn. However, I think this year in particular, the NEC has done, going all the way back to football, has had a terrific year.
Yeah, they certainly have, Rick. And, it just speaks to the quality of the athletes that live in this area, that play for their either public or private schools, but especially the public schools, that they commit to stay home and they bring their talents to their local high schools. The quality of the coaching and instruction that they're getting at the high school levels and a lot of communities in the developmental leagues, in the Pupwana, in the Pee Wee leagues, kids that are advancing and going through some of the kids in the AAU playing in the upper divisions. Again, historically, North Shore has been a mecca for quality athletes. You know, we want to congratulate Ryan January, a local kid who was drafted, I believe it was the 12th round, okay, in Major League Baseball. I think it was the 239th pick. So congratulations. There are a number of kids taken from the area. Ben Bowden, who pitched at Lynn English, had an outstanding career at Lynn English. He got drafted.
Fecto, I believe, from Salem State.
There was also a kid from St. John's who got drafted. So there was I think six or seven kids from this area who got drafted. So we want to wish all those young men the best of luck as they pursue a professional career.
Got a lot of changes going on too in the area, as we have a new athletic director at Beverly, a new athletic director at Gloucester, a new football coach at Beverly. And speaking of that, I want to shout out to Ben Goodhue over at Beverly, an assistant football coach. I presume that Ben will be staying on. I really don't know that for sure. Coach Morency is bringing in, a bunch of new guys. Roger Day will not be at Beverly anymore. Roger Day will not be coaching, from what I understand. And, I did talk with Jim Pugh, coach, and Jim Pugh coached last year in football. He was an assistant coach, and I don't know that he's going to be coaching this fall. I think he is, but I'm not sure where or at what level. And there have been offers to other coaches as well, but it was you as head coach, you bring in who you want, and it's going to be, I think, tremendous football around here in the fall. Fantastic football.
Yeah, and every year it amazes us. We see different teams suddenly stand up and be put on quite a show for us. Some of the traditional teams, their powers, they're always going to be there. Sometimes they're a little bit of slippage. Somebody else begins to step up. But, the Northeast Conference is truly one of those leagues where on any given Friday or Saturday, the other guy's going to, you know, going to knock your head off and is going to stick an L on your record. So you've got to be ready to play every single game. I think Jim Pugh, Roger Day, if Ben Goodyear chooses not to stay at Beverly, I think they ought to like form their own coaching staff and then like draft kids from schools
Just
go play everybody else and see what happens.
Oh my, that's a good idea. and Bill Newell has an idea to do instead of this playoff system to do their own bowls, to have the NEC a football bowl at the end of the season.
You know, well certainly that has been broached and I've heard and I've seen that on several different occasions where you know there are league coaches that just are not happy with the contingent set up of the MIAA, and you may even see this breakaway, but it'd be interesting to see how the MIAA dealt with something like that. Would there be penalties, you know, or sanctions placed upon these schools that try to do that? But some schools just say, you know, it's not worth it for us to do it your way.
Well, I have to mention, you remember a kid named Eric Holden who played for Lincoln Sudbury in hockey, and he was an absolute dynamo against Marblehead as well as against Gloucester in the game before that.
Yes, he was.
He leads Lincoln Sudbury the other day in Division One lacrosse, and I believe he's going to a Division One school, Cornell or something, to play lacrosse. And he gets 7 goals and 3 assists in the semifinals, as he just has had an MVP-type season. And again, Lincoln Sudbury, you know, you talk about Tewksbury being an NEC killer. Lincoln Sudbury, same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a school that, again, they have the luxury of drawing from 2 towns, you know. And
what are they? What are the towns?
Don't go there. Okay. That's right. We're using an old test, and in several spots I put in, you know, just fill in the letter A so we'd get to that question. And I'd ask the kid, so what's the incident of 127? A?
A.
Are you sure?
Okay.
I think.
All right.
Oh, it says A, right? Yeah, okay. But, you know, I mean, and that's one of the beauties. You know, Masconomets, a regional high school, they get to draw from a very large geographic region. And so their talent pool is as large or are larger than some of the local schools.
Well, I think we should notify Coach, see if we can get a hold of assistant coach, Danvers assistant baseball coach, talk some baseball. And we will talk with Bill Newell in a while about the game coming up and other things as well. And again, the tournament winding down now as school is out for most seniors in the area.
Yep.
And we will, again, have the broadcast of the D2 championship game on Wednesday night from Fraser Field. And Tim and John Squire and Bill Newell will be bringing you the play-by-play live. It will be audio. It will be radio. It won't be. We won't have live streaming video for that. MIAA has all the rights to the streaming video, so we won't be doing that. But we will have that on Wednesday night, as the old train goes rumbling through. So we invite your input. You can get a hold of us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. Danvers, I believe they are 21-2, something like that.
Yeah, and not a bad record.
Just a ridiculous record, and you'll recognize a lot of those names from football and from hockey and from other sports, but baseball players they are, baseball team it is, and Roger Day, just a National Hall of Famer. So Coach Boyce will be ready when we take a break?
Yes, he will be ready. I told him we will call in 5, and he said okay.
All right, that sounds good. And so why don't we take a break here, and then we'll come back and talk some more sports. Tim Kearns is back! About time, Coach. It's been a while. And we'll talk some other sports as well. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
If you come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
MSO Radio is where you can hear North Shore news and sports newsmakers, such as Newburyport High School football coach Mike Levine.
So the first thing for me is going to be to incorporate a lot of the wonderful guys that worked here last year with Coach Gaudiano, along with any new staff members that we bring on, and make sure that I have a staff that kids feel comfortable with, that I feel comfortable with, and I'm sure we'll end up with some excellent football coaches, and together we'll put this team where it needs to be.
Good luck to Newburyport head football coach Mike Levine. This is MSONewsSports.com.
All right, we're back. This is North Shore Sports Night. We're talking mostly Danvers baseball for obvious reasons as they remain alive in the MIAA D2 North. Well, actually, the MIAA State Championship coming up in Division II. And incredible team. And, Tim, we have quoted you so many times this season covering Danvers baseball on how Danvers baseball is played. It has been stereotypical Roger Day baseball once again. And I just marvel at his coaching ability, the culture he's established at Danvers, his intelligence, his love of the game, his ability to teach, and I could go on and on. But to play Danvers and beat Danvers is something to behold.
Well, you know, I came back this year and I coached the Gloucester freshmen, and we went over, and Danvers came to play us. And I said, okay, gentlemen, here's the way the game's going to go. If you don't play good defense, Danvers will run you out the field. Every walk is a double. Every single is a double. They're on first base. They're looking to go to third base. So you have got to field the ball, get the ball back in the infield quickly. Do not hesitate because they'll just keep running. And they did. They ran us off the field. And I told them, gentlemen, I told you this would happen. You have to play smart baseball. You have to play decisive baseball. You have to play good defensive baseball. Because as soon as they get on base, they're looking to run. And this is the freshman team.
Yep.
It's already ingrained in the freshman that you are looking to take the base. Don't worry. If you get thrown out, don't worry. The next guy's going to get on, and he's going to do the exact same thing. They put so much pressure on the defense that, again, you are thinking of all the things that Davis is going to do to you, and they do them, and you make misplays because you're so busy worrying about what Davis is going to do instead of just playing the game and executing the game. But they keep the pressure on you. You know, they got out hit the other day, but they won the game. Why? Pressure, pressure, pressure.
All right, why don't you dial up Coach Boyce, see if we can get a hold of him. We'll do this live. You got to do one, though. Did you dial one?
No.
Yeah, you got to dial one.
No, you don't. Yeah, coaching a freshman, you know, this year kept me out of the booth and attending a whole lot of games because I was.
Yeah.
I was on the field.
I know. Okay. Kept me out of here, though.
Mr. Boyce.
Tim Kurz, welcome back to reality.
Yeah. If this is reality, put me back in the dream world.
Hey, Bob, we are on live. How are you doing?
Good. How are we doing, guys?
Not too bad.
Well, we're talking a lot of Danvers baseball, and I guess for good reason. First of all, congratulations, Bob. The kids, they've ascended to new heights again.
They're playing very, very well, getting a lot of contributions from a lot of different guys. And the biggest thing is they're as loose a bunch as you're ever going to see in your life. It's like to go play.
You know, Bob, but, you know, that's certainly reflective of the confidence that they have developed of being in the system and knowing what the expectations are and playing up to those expectations. I was just telling Rick, you know, when the freshman teams played this year, I warned the kids. I said, this is how Davis is going to play this game, and if you don't stop them, they'll run you off the field. Every walk is a double. Every single is a double. They're going to run right away. They're going to attach you. They're going to put the pressure on you, and you've got to be able to make the plays. And it's just the way that the game played out. The freshmen looked as well-schooled, well-disciplined, as a JV or the varsity look. They were just a tremendously well coached group of young men that I can just see, you know, continuing tradition into the next 3 or 4 years. So, you know, you guys have little worries about being successful or not having guys that can field, hit, throw, catch the ball, because I've seen them. They can all do that.
Well, that's good to hear, and I'll pass that along to Coach Baldwin. Sorry, he does a really good job, and that's the biggest thing is why we're so successful. We have a good feeder program, a good pipeline of kids. They all know our system by the time they get to us, so it's a lot easier. You don't have to do as much teaching as just we do a lot of refining of skills and knowledge.
Yeah, and that's certainly an advantage that you guys have demonstrated over the years. As you know, every year the team goes out in the field and it's okay, that kid looked like he was here 5 years ago. Tall, thin, first baseman, he's got the short blonde hair. Yeah, he's been here before. How many years you been playing now? You know, I'd always ask.
That's the secret, Tim. We've had old Zach on our team for like the last 15 years.
I know.
it's all the same kid, we just changed positions.
Sounds like the splinters and the bunkers up at Masconomet, same thing.
Absolutely correct. And oh, by the way, there's another old Zach coming in the pipeline next year.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, speaking of old Zach and your pitching, Bob, you know, you guys have played a hell of a lot of games this season, especially now deep into the tournament with the state championship coming up on Wednesday. How are the arms? Because, obviously you've been giving up some hits, but they haven't been hurting you.
Well, the biggest thing, especially with Andrew, when Andrew pitches a game, he throws a 78-pitch complete game. So it's not like he's throwing 150 pitches like a lot of other guys.
Right.
They're pitchers, too. He's 78 to 85 pitches a game. This past game was a high watermark at 94. For 94 pitches is his high watermark for 4 years, never mind just for this year. And then Dean is your prototypical power pitcher. He's the 100-pitch guy. He's a six-inning guy, and then we have Andrew waiting in the wings. So it's a really good 1-2 punch. They're both well-rested, practice today. They're both say they can go the distance if we need them to go, and, you know, it's a nice luxury to have coming into the state final with your top two guys ready to go and rested.
Yeah, I remember talking to Dean Borders, 5 years ago when his son was in eighth grade, getting ready to go into the high school, and his dad was so proud of, you know, how far along his kid was and getting ready to go play for the high school, and his focus was, you know, he's going to be a really good pitcher, and a lot of times, you know, dads kind of will sometimes speak lovingly of their kids but not realize the limitations. But boy, this is a young man that has really fulfilled not only his own dreams, but, you know, what his father predicted for him.
Well, he's come a long way in such a short period of time. To me, it's just amazing where he was last year to go. I think he had one win last year. Now he's got 10, and he's undefeated, and being undefeated at any level is an accomplishment, but the level of play that we're playing right now is a true testament to the type of character that he has and the type of ability that he has.
Bob, I'm sorry, Tim.
No, and certainly the confidence level as he has come back, you know, this year and started to put up the W's, that belief in himself and the belief in the team behind him just really fuels it. And to have your number two undefeated with that kind of a record.
Well, this is true. It's your typical multi-sport athlete, Tim.
Yep.
It's not the single, not just your baseball player, but he's tough mentally as well as physically, because he had a really good year last year playing football at Davis High as the quarterback and receiver, and that's going to help you in the long run playing multiple sports. And these people who do specialize in one sport all the time, I think they're missing the boat.
You know,
because you kids just don't experience other types of being learning how to be tough and compete.
That's where I was going to go next, and you already beat me to it. And I know that, you know, Coach Day, Bob, I've been around a while, talked to a lot of people, you know, about sports, and have read a million different things, but I cannot remember running into anybody who's more knowledgeable about baseball than Roger Day. And he is still a student of the game. However, he also is a fantastic football coach. So you guys do see the, I'm guessing, the good in playing other sports and doing other things.
Well, it's like I said, first of all, Roger's a much better football player than he is a baseball coach, a much better football coach rather than the baseball coach. It's hard to believe, but just what he does in football is unbelievable with just the level of talent that kids it has, and sometimes a lack of talent, and he always finds a way to win.
Good point.
He carries that over into our program, because we've had teams that weren't very talented, and, you know, down the road, and Jimmy will tell you, oh, look what happens now. Davis got 17 wins, and they're making another run in the tournament. It's all about, you know, getting your team from point A to point B. You know, this Roger's famous thing is there's two ways to get from point A to point B. the easy way or the hard way. But we're going to get you there one way or the other. You guys choose.
You know,
this year they've chosen a little bit of both, and, you know, push comes to shove, Rogers will win out.
You know, I know one of the keys to Rogers' success, Bob. A guy named Frankie Carey.
Well, maybe. Maybe.
I think if Roger needs to pick a brain, that's the brain he picks.
Well, it's a good brain to pick, and the thing is, Tim, you'll know it, and anyone that, you know, out there listening that's ever coached knows it. Coaches are the biggest thieves in the world. If they see something they like from another coach, it's now all of a sudden in their playbook.
Yep.
They steal from one, steal from another, and that's the biggest form of flattery.
You know, I just thought about between the two of them, they have close to or over 1,100 coaching victories in baseball.
I believe, well, the gentleman that we're going to play that coaches the Dighton team has got more wins than Roger. So between the two of them, they're going to have almost 1,100 wins.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And that's the reason why you're there.
Well, you know, it's the system more than the coach. The coach puts in the system, but you got to have the players that are willing to buy into the system and figure out how to make the system work. And we've been very fortunate, you know, the time that I've been there the last, I don't know, 17, 18 years, that the kids buy into the system, and that's what it's all about.
But, you know, it's the attention to the detail that is producing, you know, we've talked about this, produced the success that had that gets kids who are baseball players saying, I want to play for that guy, and I'm going to play it his way, because I know if I play it his way, we're going to be successful. And I think you guys have a lot of guys that, you know, don't care about the individual success. It's about the team success and what can we accomplish as a team. And I think that speaks volumes to the coaching staff and being up the guys to buy in on that too.
Well, our kids are more impressed with the name on the front of their shirt than the name that would be if we put them on the backs of their shirts. It's all about wearing that blue jersey come tournament time and being successful.
Bob, I got to ask you, this is my last question, but with the emphasis on good baseball, fundamental baseball, the attention to detail, it seems like it is a very intense sport at Danvers. On the other hand, I'm sure that the kids have fun, and I just wonder if you could point out something, an incident, or what a practice might be like, or something or other than the winning of a ball game at the end of a ball game. What do these kids how have they had some fun this year? What has been fun for them, either at a practice or during a game, aside from winning, if that makes any sense at all?
You must know something else we do. Roger and I don't allow our kids to have fun.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Rick, you want my story about Danvers?
Practice is all about games. We scrimmage every day amongst ourselves. We split our guys up into five groups, and that's where it becomes most competitive and the most fun, because the kids really get after it and they really get on each other about being better. And if one group of guys isn't performing, you've got the other 14 guys or five other teams really getting on their case and giving them the business. Don't let us down. And we're not going to let you down, so you don't let us down. And I think the kids have learned to push each other, and they really have they're very lighthearted and have a good nature of ribbing about themselves with the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to be the weakest link.
Again, my story, I went to interview Roger one day, and Bob, you told me this. Roger wasn't happy with the hustle after foul balls.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they were out there doing the drill, and all of a sudden, Coach Day calls him in. Okay, here we go. And he starts hitting the balls foul over the fence into the parking lot. And they were chasing him. Mm-hmm. Full speed.
Yep.
Full speed, and I went, Bob, what's this? Oh, Coach wasn't happy. We lost three baseballs yesterday. Right? So they were practicing going and get the ball before it stopped rolling.
Sure.
Right, Bob?
It's a team game to me. Everyone has something to do, whether you're on the field or on the bench.
And I'm thinking,
figure out what your job is and get it done the right way.
And attention to detail is what it is.
Well, okay, so you guys don't have fun, but we sure have had fun watching it, I'll tell you. And we look forward to seeing you guys on Wednesday night and bringing home the title. I don't want to jinx anybody, but, geez, Bob, thanks for all your help this year, and best of luck to you on Wednesday.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Maybe get to talk one more time next week.
Oh, we will, no, most definitely.
All right, thanks, guys. We look forward to seeing you guys on Wednesday.
Okay, Bob, we'll see you there.
Have a great night. Thanks for calling.
Take care. That's Bob Boyce, the assistant baseball coach at Danvers, and I know they have fun. Roger's not mean.
Roger is all business.
Oh, yeah.
At practice, it is all business. You know when they have
fun? Practice is fun.
Do you know when they have fun? Game day. The game day is fun. The game day is easy.
I suppose.
Game day is where you go out and execute.
Practice
you
is where
been,
you get more.
You
get more done at practice. You're playing all the time at practice. Those kids are moving all the time. During a game, a lot of times you're standing around with your hands on your hips.
It's the anticipation of wanting the ball hit to you because you know what you're going to do with it. And you watch those kids play, and they're constantly talking, reminding each other
about
what the play is, how many on, how many out, what are you going to do, letting the outfielders know who the cutoffs are, where they got to go with the ball, what they're looking for. It's like watching... It's so choreographed.
Mm.
Okay, outfielders back each other up. One guy goes in for the dive on a sharp ball.
Yep.
Guys
yep.
behind him. You know, guys are backing up. It's just everybody is where they're supposed to be. As it's drawn up in the books, it's so textbook. It's clinical,
mm-hmm.
and that's what they are, Roger. They have become clinical. I'm going to call them assassins and a lot of things are going on. But they kill you with their hustle. They kill you with their knowledge. They kill you with their anticipation of the play. Every one of the kids that's on that field and on the bench is one or two plays ahead of the other team on every ball that's pitched.
All right. And apparently they're playing Dighton Rehoboth. Is that what it's called?
Dighton Rehoboth.
Okay. And their coach is something else, too. All right. That's Wednesday coming up. We're going to take a break. Come back with Bill Newell.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Ben.
All right, we are back, and Tim Kearns talking to Bill Newell. Good question, Bill. How you been?
I've been good. I've been okay.
All right. All right, I don't know about Kearns. This has been awkward tonight. It's like our first show 11 years ago. It's weird.
I forgot how to use the headset, Bill.
What's that?
I forgot how to use the headset.
Well, yeah, it's...
I had to have a tutorial.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Bill, we just...
Over the mouth.
Yeah. He's not used to having a megaphone. He doesn't need one.
We know the difference between your ears and your mouth. That's for sure. Maybe you don't, but we do.
Well, it's good to have Tim back. I think, Bill, we got baseball coming up on Wednesday, and you have done incredible work covering the tournament this year. And I wonder. I'm gonna use your question that you ask interviewees on you. What stands out during the tournament in all the sports you've covered? Because you've covered a lot of baseball, a lot of softball, and other sports as well. But what's the first thing that comes to mind other than Danvers?
Well, you know, I was... let me just jump over to softball for a second. I was over at softball Sunday in Lowell, and St. Mary's played, Swampscott played. And it was a very windy, gusty day there, and I was impressed with how well all the teams fielded the pop-ups. Tricky situation. I mean, new strange field, all that stuff. They did a very, really good job. Some players actually made some outstanding catches on balls that were not easy balls. On the other hand, too, sometimes a routine fly would become an adventure, but mm-hmm. they would make the play. That struck me. Also, the girls, I'm not sure which team it was, but it doesn't matter. But the girls were having a good time. They're playing music between the innings. And I think the girls would be singing along with it. Now, you wouldn't see that at a baseball game.
No.
With the boys.
No, that's
just
true.
Just would not see that. But they would, they were having a good time. And, it might have been the, Neil Diamond Red Sox, you know, the song they do it between innings at the Red Sox thing. That might have been the one they were singing to. And it is what it is. But on the other hand, most of the defense has been great. The Swampscott team had a little struggle with defense in their game on Sunday, but I thought they overachieved this year, as a matter of fact, in the tournament. They have a very young team, a lot of players back, so that's a good story. And St. Mary's, you know, they had a great season as well in softball, and I guess just flipping over to baseball, I mean, we've seen a lot of good teams. The Danvers-Reading game was really it turned out to be a very good baseball game. Reading looks to be a very powerful team. It just so happens, I think, Danvers got to them. They had the one big inning, and that was pretty much enough. But even I think, you know, Danvers coach Roger Day was saying after the game, and you'll hear it in our video, is that it turned out that big inning, they really needed every single run of those runs to feel safe in that game.
You know, Bill, the thing about Danvers over the years especially is they don't panic, you know, in a tight game. You seldom see them, you know, have multiple error games or in a critical situation. There's a mental that leads to a physical breakdown. They tend not to beat themselves. And again, they put the pressure, no matter how good you are, you better be ready for Danvers. It may not necessarily be run and gun, but it's going to be run. They're going to put the ball on the ground, and they're going to make you make the plays. And if you're not heads up and you're not, you know, doing all the things you're supposed to be doing, they're going to catch you, and they're going to put, you know, 2, 3, 4 runs on the board before you blink, and all of a sudden you're chasing that team that, you know, I think they were out hit by Reading like 7-4. But they made those hits count and put runs on the board.
Yeah, they've been repeatedly out hit by their opponents, but they outscore their opponents, win the game, and go on to the next round. Yeah, the one thing that does stand out to me is the Danny Lynch performance the other day against North Andover High School at Endicott College. It was the Thursday game, another windy day there, cool day. And Lynch, in the game, bombs a home run, a solo blast over the center field wall. It probably went like 400 feet. It went well over the wall at Endicott, which is a deeper wall than at Twy Field in Danvers. So there he gets that home run. Now he's up with the, I guess, two runners on. Late in the game in the sixth inning, tie game, 3-3. They're, Danvers up bottom of the sixth inning. And he has an at-bat where, and let me think, Bob Boys will probably know this off the top of his head, but he either had a 1-2 pitch or a 2-2 pitch, and he takes a ball, and it wasn't strike three called. And it was a very close pitch, but he got the call at the plate. Then it was either a 3-2 pitch, it was a 3-2 pitch that he hammered over the right field wall for a home run, for a three-run shot, giving Danvers the 6-3 win. But after the game, I asked him that the question about what about that pitch you took, the close one, and he kind of rolls his eyes and smiles. And I mean, it's just like, just every once in a while, you need a little break. I'm not sure that it was a strike or a ball, whatever it was, but it was close, and he took it, and he got the ball call on it, and stays up to end up taking that swing to win the game and to have the big two-run performance. And you know, he was on top of the world after that game, as he should be, you know, and that's one of the great things to see about a big high school tournament win.
I remember during football season, Bill, they were counting on Lynch so much and Andreas in the playoffs, and I forget who Danvers ran up against when they got beat just before they played the Thanksgiving Day game. And those kids were gassed. They gave everything they had, Danny Lynch included, and he had a great game, but not the kind of game that he ordinarily would have had he been rested, had he been not so physically exhausted. So it's great to see him, be the star of the day, because those kids, they just came up short in football, but it looks like that's not going to happen in baseball. And what I like, Bill, what I've been impressed with in watching, and Beverly was the same way, but the crispness of the game, the fact, and Tim was mentioning it, that, man, the defense is crisp, the base running is good, the at-bats are good, you know, it's there's no energy wasted with these kids.
No, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Danvers might have committed, I don't know my totals here, one or two errors in the game against Reading. But again, they had the big inning, and they could afford that. And I heard Bob Boys, I heard part of it, I think it broke up on me, but I heard a little bit. But Olczak, he can give up hits, but he spaces them very well, so he's not giving up runs. And, you know, that's not bad if you could do that. You know, gave up hits. You know, Reading got more hits than Danvers, but Olczak didn't give up a lot of runs.
You know, some guy named Bill Lee used to live by that: give up 10 hits and still win the game. But you give up, you know.
Olczak picked off one of the Reading runners, and he was throwing a lot of off-speed pitch. And I swear, the hardest throw that he made in the game early in the game was that pickoff move at first base. And it ended, and the game before, I was watching him at Endicott. I was standing right by the first base bag with one of the umpires who was actually going to be doing the next game, and we were talking. And he has just a really outstanding move to first base, as Andrew Olczak, the Danvers pitcher. And that ball is on the money. It's on the bag. And like I said, they did pick off one of the Reading runners, and I can't imagine that happens too often to a Reading high school team. But it was just a really sweet move by Olczak on the mound in that game against Reading. And yeah, he's talented.
What do you what's the schedule now for Wednesday, Bill? We're going to be carrying the game, and it's at Frazier Field. Is that correct?
Right, 7 o'clock, first pitch, and Dighton Rehoboth won. I think their score was 10-4 today as they won the South. And just to make sure everyone's clear on this, in Division II, it's only Eastern Mass final. That's the state title, basically. So it's South against North. There's no Central. There's no West. While in the other divisions, that's not the case. The teams that won the North finals will go on, and if you win, you have to win twice to, say, win the state title. It'd be, from the North final win, you go on, and you're one of four teams remaining. But not the case in D2.
Okay, so you and John Squire and Tim Kearns will be up there, and John has seen quite a few tournament games.
Yeah, he goes to a lot of games, and he's been great. And so John will be there. He's seen Danvers and so on, and so we'll. It should be a great night, a lot of fun. We'll see what happens.
All right, and you've talked to a million coaches, Bill, and athletes, and all of that stuff is still up on the website, and we invite people to go take a look and take a listen, especially with the kids. You've interviewed a lot of kids, and those videos are still there, and all you got to do is just traverse the website and check it out. And you talk to the coaches before and after games as well.
Yeah, we try to do that. In fact, I just got a text. As soon as I hang up with you, I'm talking with Richard Fecto, who
right.
Was from Salem State. You mentioned that, the Navigators, and from West Newbury, Newbury, Mass, not West Newbury, my mistake. But Richard got drafted by the Angels, and we'll talk to him and put that right up on the website tonight.
No rest for the weary. All right, and we'll see you in the morning with North Shore today.
Sounds good, and I thought it was pretty nice with Tim, like you told me to be. Right, Rick?
You were, yeah. Well, he's got this problem, so we got to be nice to the old geese, to Tim.
Yeah, okay. I just very nice.
All right, Bill. All right.
I really want to. Yeah, I tried to take it easy with him.
Yep. Save your shots for Wednesday night.
I don't want to get him angry again.
No, no. But you can keep those emails coming. He likes those.
Yeah. Just take a deep breath. Okay.
All right, Bill. Talk to you in the morning.
We'll see you.
All right, thanks.
All right, Bill.
Bill Noel, the voice of the North Shore for low these many years. And talk about having, star of the day. We got Bill Noel.
I know.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
He is a supernova.
Huh? There you go.
He is a supernova.
All right, Coach, you're funny. You mentioned Bill Lee, and then you know the name that jumped in my head about giving up hits and winning? Remember Stu Miller?
Yeah.
Baltimore Orioles. That guy would throw these Ephus pitches, and, man, they couldn't hit any. He'd give up hits, but not a lot of runs.
Very bizarre. I love those Oriole teams.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Orioles playing the Red Sox should be a great series, and I'm very nervous about the pitching. They've got to come up with some. These guys have got to start pitching better. They just have to.
No, they're starting to wear the bullpen out.
Well, yeah.
You know, that's definitely a problem. I mean, Price has got to become more consistent. He's got to give them. He should be giving them 7-8 innings every outing. I'm sorry, you're getting paid $31 million.
He's a big guy too. He's not a little guy.
Yeah, no, $31 million. You should be out there doing 8 innings, okay, and producing results. Be in the game. He hasn't shown that yet, which, again, I was leery of the signing anyways, but, thank God for the knuckleballer. Thank God for Wright.
Yeah.
You know, he went from maybe the fifth guy in the bullpen, the fill-in, to the number two starter, the steadiest guy on the staff, the guy with the most complete games. It's like, come on, will you?
And a guy, well, three guys you predicted stardom for, but the number one guy looks to be a superstar in the making right now is Xander Bogaerts.
Well, you know, I said when they were jerking him around in the infield, leave the kid at shortstop.
Yes, you did.
Hit him. And when did he really start to hit? When they dumped Drew and they said, "You're playing shortstop. Here you go. Go play it." And he started to hit, and he hasn't stopped.
And on another note, I'm going to miss the greatest hockey player of all time, Gordie Howe.
You know,
Bobby Orr was the greatest in this area. Bobby Orr changed the game, and had he played 20 years, he might have surpassed. But Gordie Howe was the best in everything.
My first time when I heard he had passed away, Bobby Orr even said the greatest player was Gordie
Without
Howe.
Without doubt.
You know, and Gretzky has all these points. Well, Gretzky has all these points because they changed the scoring ruling for the second assist. Gordie Howe played during the era when there was one assist given.
Well, also, the other thing is you've got this watered-down league, too, that Gretzky played in. And, you know, they talk about, well, you can't talk about Howe in the modern era because he only played in six teams. Excuse me, you've got six teams, which means you've got the best hockey players in the world. Okay, no hangers-on.
You know, and I remember, you know, young, early in Bobby Orr's career, he was a tough kid. He didn't back down from anybody, and he went looking for Gordie Howe. And that was a mistake he learned very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
You don't go testing Gordie Howe.
No.
Because nice as he is off the ice, and there was a beautiful article
and he was an old man at that time.
On Gordie Howe.
Kevin DuPont, yeah.
Kevin DuPont, what a marvelous piece.
Well, I know a teacher who
was ferocious on the ice, and he didn't care who you were. If you wanted to challenge him, he was going to knock your block off, and he literally knocked Bobby Orr's block off.
I know a teacher who was on a flight with Gordie Howe, on the same domestic flight, and he went up to Gordie Howe in the plane and just said, you know, just wanted to shake his hand and meet him, and Gordie Howe said, you know, you want to talk, and he talked with him and so on, and he said, just the most gracious man.
Yep. Yeah, I
But I still also remember seeing blood on his stick down at the corner of the ice and some guy bent over at the other end of the rink. They're carrying him off in a stretcher and no penalty on Howe. He just knew how to croak people.
But that was an era when, you know, you could croak people and it was part of the game.
He could play center, right wing, left. He did play center, right wing, left wing, defense, and he could shoot either hand, left or right. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah, he was.
And he played into his 50s.
52.
Unbelievable. 52. The great Gordie Howe. He was unbelievable. Yeah. Okay, well, that'll do it from here. I want to thank Tim for finally making it here. We will be back next Monday, hopefully with a few more guests. And in the meantime, have fun. Coach, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, maybe I'll be in the hospital next week.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I'll let you know.
All right. Jeez, I hope not. All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks to Bill Newell, to Danvers assistant coach, baseball coach Bob Boyce. I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.
This is MSO Radio at msonewsports.com.